Good morning, good afternoon, wherever you are. This is a Caracast. Yep, we're in the car, sitting in traffic, driving back from a weekend away, wasting valuable, precious hours sitting in an automobile. So why would we do that? Well, we won't. We'll do a podcast. Every minute is precious in life. So today, ultimate reality. Last week I did a really cool video on ultimate reality, and today I'm going to do the podcast that talks to that topic. Ultimately, reality means that everything around you, everything, every human interaction, every feeling, every emotion becomes transparent. And what that means is you can see through it. Ultimate reality is what's behind everything. You could look at governments, you can look at religion, you could look at health and well-being, you could look at relationships, you can look at anything you want, including your own self, and look through it. A good example of ultimate reality is, as much as it sounds a bit morbid, you're gonna die eventually. And that's the ultimate reality of life. It's an inescapable truth that we are all going to not have a body one day. Trying to avoid that would be fiction. Trying to negotiate the terms and conditions of your existence post-death has to be, a little on the hopeful side. Because who knows? No one ever came back from over the other side of that fence. So the ultimate reality is you get one big swipe at life, and then you can invent the realities around that to make it acceptable. For example, you might say, I believe in the Buddhist system, I'm going to be born again. So this life, if I blow it up, I'll be back. You might say, if I be good in this life, I'll drift in heaven for the rest of my eternity. There's another invented reality. But the ultimate reality is you're not going to be in this body, and you are here. The more you look at life, the more you see that the culture you're born into, the environment you live in, the work you do, the ambition you have, changes that reality. You know, nobody wants to acknowledge some of the ultimate realities of life, but you have a job. The ultimate reality is you need money. The ultimate reality is if you add value, you get money. If you don't add value, you don't get money. There's a variable in all that, and that is been introduced by companies, which is you have to be liked in order to do a good job at getting money. And so you can say, well, the ultimate reality is a little bit distorted by reality. And in reality, in the real world, if people don't like you, they won't pay you because they'll score you really low on some randomly created empowerment chart and engagement survey. And so reality is bent. The ultimate reality can never be bent. The ultimate reality, let's just talk about a few. Ultimate reality is two sides to everything. An emotion, on the other hand, is a one-sided perception, one-sided belief. So every emotion argues with ultimate reality. And so therefore you can say to yourself, every time I feel emotional or have an emotion, I'm in distorted reality, mine, you know, I've distorted it and I'm having it. But ultimately, ultimate reality is that emotion is self-constructed, it's not real. And so to go to the next point on that is to say, therefore, every feeling I have, which is based on an emotional interpretation of life, is not real. It's my reality. It's bent reality. Ultimate reality is two sides to everything. If you see two sides to something, you won't have an emotion about it. And ultimate reality in that sense, in the first, just the first of these principles means that you can interact with any other human being in truth, in ultimate reality. You can see them having an emotion. You can understand that they've seen something from a lopsided viewpoint. You know you can't argue with someone who has a lopsided viewpoint because they think that's reality. But you don't have to see it their way. You can say, I acknowledge your right to have lopsided perceptions, and I acknowledge your right to have your version of reality. It doesn't mean I have to, but what it does, it means that I can see if I'm conversing with you, you've bent reality to your version of it, and therefore I can understand you better. So if something goes right or wrong, there's two sides to it. And if someone says you should, they're also saying you shouldn't. And if you say to yourself, I should, there's also a shouldn't. And so this is called an internal turmoil, where a person is bouncing around polarities of shoulds and shouldn'ts, which are lopsided perceptions, and therefore they get confused. They don't know themselves. Once upon a time, meditation was taught so that you could sit still and go, there's the ultimate reality. There's two sides to everything. But now in the West, meditation is taught so you can relax, relieve stress, or believe that you become some sort of spiritual guru or something, which is completely not the truth. So there were in the past opportunities to see ultimate reality through process such as sitting still. But if you don't have a paradigm on which to compare your version, the bent reality, if you don't have a hypothesis, then sitting in meditation usually just reinforces the bent. In other words, you might sit in meditation and you go, oh, I've seen something bad happen, I've got to meditate on it to deal with it. But again, meditation was intended that you said the hypothesis is there's two sides to everything. I can't see it. I'm having a reaction to that person. I'm having a reaction to this event. I'm having a reaction to it. I can't see ultimate reality. I can't see truth. I want to sit still until I do. Now, that's not necessarily an unhealthy thing to do, don't you think? If you're a leader if you're in a family or you're not feeling well, instead of reacting to what you think is a bent reality, to sit still for a while and observe reality. I don't ever advocate sitting in meditation, although I see absolutely the benefit of it if it's done right. And my concern is that it's very rarely done right. I think, for me, ultimate reality is observable by going for a walk in a park. When we go for a walk in a park, there's trees and there's birds and there's ultimate realities. There's two sides to everything. But again, if we go out into a park and look for beautiful flowers and look for beautiful sunsets and look for beautiful this and beautiful that, we're wanting to observe a bent reality. We're looking for the bliss, which is no different to doing a meditation and looking for enlightenment. Enlightenment, again, is an outcome of meditation, but the minute we look for it, we bend reality. Ultimate reality is the first hypothesis we're always examining. And if we live by the rule of ultimate reality, what we're actually saying to ourselves is, I don't want to be fooled by the myth and the games of the lower level of living. The lower you go in the level of life, the lower you operate. You may have come from, let's say, for example, my socioeconomic beginnings were very low. And so there was a huge polarity in my early childhood. Things were very black and white. There was physical punishment if things went wrong. There was a low it was a very biologically, physically polarized reality. If I kept on with that metaphor, and that was my model of life, I would be still as unevolved as my family was, and I'd still be running that same script, even in my meditation. I'd be looking for the ultimate polarity. But as I've learned and educated myself over these last years, and there's been a few of them now, I've come to realize that the ultimate reality is this balance. And now I search for balance in opposition to what I was brought up with. And I realize there's still a lot of people operating in the polarity where I was brought up. So I don't want to subscribe to what they do. It's very easy to subscribe to what they do because they have very strong arguments as to why they're right and why the world got it wrong with pollution or whatever they're saying, goodness or kindness or indigenous rights or whatever it is. And I get that people live in that space, but that doesn't necessarily validate me getting caught up in it. But on a micro level in my own life, you know, I can wake up one day and not feel fantastic, and I go, what's the benefit of that? I can wake up one day and be caught in traffic, and I, what's the benefit of that? I look for ultimate reality even in the micro existence, and therefore I'm not trapped in my own head. I'm not trapped by emotion, which is really a ridiculous waste of good energy, and I stay magnetic in myself. I don't feel continually drained or wounded by things that go on around me. That means I can give more. When it comes to giving, the other part of this equation, when you're looking at why would you search for ultimate reality and not get caught up in bent reality, one of the things about life is we want to give. That's just a human aspiration, to give more. That's a very important realization. But if giving costs us the energy that we've spent all our time accumulating, if we give to exhaustion, that's not really giving. That's martyrdom. Martyrdom is when we celebrate ourselves by being wounded, by being hurt, by running ourselves into the ground. Excuse me, I'm getting all the gears mixed up in the car. This car wouldn't pull the skin off a rice custard, as my father would say. What's the benefit of that? Is we drive nice and slow. So let's just go through giving. Giving, when you give, it should cost you no energy at all. If you gave all day, you would feel no more tired than if you didn't give all day. So if you're giving of leadership, or you're giving of kindness, or you're giving of support, or you're giving of love, or you're giving of wisdom, or you're giving as a teacher, or giving as a healer, or giving as a partner, if at the end of the day you go, oh, I'm exhausted from these kids, I've been giving to them all day, you're not giving, you're getting. That's a different paradox. Reaching out to give, to get, means you're hoping to return more energy back to you by martyring yourself, by giving out, you're hoping to return. There's a sort of a, some sort of a weird, if I give oranges to this person, I'll get apples back and I'll feel much better. And it doesn't work. It does not work. And you will find some of the most stressed and exhausted people on earth are givers. But they're giving in a bent reality. They're giving not in ultimate reality. Ultimate reality says the person on the other side of the fence we're giving to doesn't need what we're giving. They're 100%, because ultimate reality means we see them transparently too. And they may be complaining that the world is square, or their partner doesn't do this and doesn't do that. if we buy into those one-sided interpretations that person has, we're living in their reality, which is typically, as I said before, one-sided and primitive, and in relation to their own self-interpretation. So when we're giving, it's really important to make sure, before we do, we see the other person is complete, whole. That we're not giving to fix them up, to repair them, to make them better, and to therefore grow them or anything. We're basically saying this person's perfect, but I like to share what I've got. I like to be a giver. I'm going to give them something even though they don't need it. So in other words, I'm going to be an influencer. And then the energy shifts, because you go, well, I'm not going to waste it just spewing it all over the table because this person is claiming to be broken or hurt or not good enough. You stand there and go, I have something to share, and you hold it inside of you. And it leads to that whole Walker thing about don't ever give 100%. Give 90%. Keep some back. And that is revealed when you're working with people and you feel like you've got to give 100%. If you give 100%, at the end of the day, you're cooked. 90% means you perceive the other person as perfect. You perceive yourself as perfect, but you have still the mission in life to achieve stuff, to influence others, to influence the results. And so you want to be an influencer. You want to make influence on that person. So you hold it within you and then share it. I remember in one of my marriages, the wedding ring had engraved on it, I'll be me, you be you, and let's meet in the middle. And I think that's a beautiful way to say, look, giving doesn't necessarily mean self-sacrifice. This is Chris. You have a beautiful day. Bye for now.